The only way you can be sustainable is to be profitable, because you can't build a $1 million platform from scratch if you don't have the profit to do it. And that's what has made our business unique, is that no one gave us money because we don't need their money or want their money. And also, we make enough money that for someone to buy Nucleus, they would have to offer a crap ton of money. And that's just not going to happen, at least not for years and years and years.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by my friend Brady Shear. Brady, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be here, Nils. Thanks for having me.
Well, man, you have been a regular on the podcast over the past few years, but for those that might not know who you are, can you give a little background as to who you are and what you do?
Yeah, so like you said, Nils, my name is Brady Shearer. I run a company called Pro Church Tools, and our entire company is founded upon this idea we call Seize the 167. Basically, your week has 168 hours in it. Say your church service on average is about an hour. That means you got 167 hours beyond that where you can reach your church and your community. You know, it used to be that we had to like clamor and demand, Nils, please come to our church on the weekend. We had this 1 hour. That's when we could work out our mission statement. That's when we could help people to be disciples, teach them to love God and love people. But now with the advent of technology, we've got these other 167 hours where we can reach them. You know, even demographics age 50 plus spend on average 4 hours a week, every single week on social media. It's crazy. And there's this all this untapped time and space where we can reach people with the message of Jesus, hope, reconciliation, purpose, and community. And so our company is all about teaching you, because you probably don't have the skills, because most of our churches don't. I didn't when I started, teaching you how to do this using social, web, video, graphics, and beyond.
I love it. I love it. And I have loved the content you've put out through the years. And honestly, the content since the beginning of 2018, you have stepped up your game to another level, which I didn't think was humanly possible, but you have figured it out and just putting out gold. And so we're going to talk on this episode, and you've got a product coming out soon with Nucleus, but you've been talking a lot about websites. I want to talk about websites, but before we get to websites, I want to talk about social media. So I have been an evangelist for social media in the church for, you know, probably 10 years now. And about 5 years ago, I was having the conversation, hey guys, maybe you should think about Facebook. Now I feel like the conversation is, oh crud, we didn't really pay attention to this trend. Now we need to catch up. I'm curious, as you have been a leading voice in that conversation, if you look over the last 3 years, what do you get excited about? What do you say, you know what, the church has really come a long way in this area of social media?
Well, I think that the conversation has most definitely shifted from, I don't feel like I spend pretty much any of my time convincing churches to use social anymore. Yeah. Those conversations do still happen. You know, we released a video this year called "What's the Point of Social Media?" And that video was targeted at, you know, a person who's in a church with a senior leadership that's like, we just don't understand why. And so those conversations still happen, but for the most part, there's an understanding, an implicit understanding that, yeah, social is important and we need to be there. We need to have a website. We need to be on Facebook. And so that's a great place to start, because if we don't have to spend a significant amount of our energy and resources just convincing people of the need for social, yep, then, you know, it's like we're starting at the, you know, 50-yard line instead of on the 1 yard line. Now we can start with a game plan to get us into the end zone a lot faster.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. That's such a good word. Well, man, I don't know if you remember when we first connected, or how we first connected, or if you even know, but I was with, I'd actually hired a consultant when I was at Community Bible Church named Tim Peters. And Tim and I were chatting over lunch, and he was like, dude, you got it. You got to follow this guy, Brady Shearer. He's this kid from Canada. He's the most creative genius I've ever met. And I don't know if he'd even met you, but he was just like, you got to follow this guy. He's just doing some crazy awesome stuff. He's young, but you wouldn't believe the wisdom he's in, the content he's putting out. And so I went and checked out your website, and I remember reaching out to you. You had the best website I'd ever seen, period. Not just in the church space or ministry business space, but it's such a great website. And I reached out to you, and I was like, bro, I don't know who did your website, but is there any way you could help me with my website? And you're like, man, that's not my business model. I'm focused on video. So you're doing video announcements at the time. And you're like, I'm head down in this area. you are now in the website game. I'm pumped about that because I have loved your websites for a long time. Can you talk a little bit about how Nucleus got started and what your vision was and is for Nucleus?
Yeah, absolutely. So you're right in that I haven't been designing websites as a contractor for years now. And we were putting together a brand new website of our own. We got to the point where the business where I was no longer developing and designing websites myself. And I was like, you know what? I want to take things to an even greater level. So I want to hire an agency. And so we found this agency that they had worked with Toyota and a ton of other big brands. We're like, man, this is the team that's going to help us take our website to the next level. And they built us this amazing website. And as we were going through this process, and this website was for our video agency that you had mentioned earlier,
yep.
We're going through this process and I started imagining, I was like, I've never had designers and developers on my team before. This has always fallen on me. And my limitations are I can hack together a WordPress site and I know some really limited CSS, HTML. But beyond that, you know, I'm not getting into the real hard stuff. And seeing their ability to pretty much just take anything that I had in my head, any dream that I had, and create it online. It was bad for me as an entrepreneur, Nils, because it just started turning those gears and it just started going, and man, the possibilities are now virtually endless as long as you can cash fund it, cash flow it rather, and create something of value. And so I kind of approached them with this idea. I was like, you know what? There hasn't really been any innovation in the church space when it comes to, you know, drag and drop all-in-one website builders. And I think that we can really build something special here. It's going to take a really long time. It's going to cost a ton of money and there's no guarantee it's going to work, but let's give it a shot because now I feel like I have the understanding of churches, of what they need. Now you guys have the ability to make it happen. Now we have the team that's actually going to work. And the reason that I got into this space, Nils, was because really of the videos, because one of the main products that we've had since the very beginning of Pro Church Tools is we do video announcements for churches. We've been doing it for 5 years now. We do it for about 150 churches every single weekend. And I am, since the beginning, one of the main presenters, the only presenter for these video announcements for churches. So we did the math one day and I've presented more than 30,000 individual announcements for churches. And that's every demographic, every size of church, every ethnicity, denomination, location. And what I've learned in that time is that churches use so many different applications when it comes to encouraging their congregation to take next steps. Maybe it's a mobile app, maybe it's the website, maybe it's email or a phone number. Talk to Pastor Kathy after the service, visit the lobby kiosk, the bulletin, whatever it might be. And I found that there was such chaos in churches' communications. And I was like, well, the reason for this is that each of these methods, while it has its strengths, they all have their own fatal flaws. For instance, the lobby is great, but what about those other 167 hours of the week that we talked earlier? You know, or the mobile app is great, but that's not indexable in search engines. You know, you've got to download that to your mobile device and it doesn't work on desktop. Well, bulletin's great, but how many of those end up in the trash? And that's print material. You get one shot. What if you need to make a quick change last minute? The website is great, but there's no such thing as a church website builder that really integrates with all the other platforms and allows you to capture and store information. You know, you can create a really nice static site with information, but when it comes to creating a dynamic, you know, platform, that's why churches get apps, right? Because they integrate and they allow you to do more robust things that websites don't allow. And so I was like, what if we created a website builder that allowed you to create what I like to call the central hub for your church, a single destination for every single next step, so that no matter what you were promoting, like I promoted baptisms for my church last weekend, we could send them to that one URL. Or for a new visitor, fill out a Digital Connect card and you'll get a free gift sent through email automatically. Well, that could happen through the central hub. And then for new visitors, you know, what happens if a potential family is trying to figure out maybe they want to attend your church? Well, we could create a plan of visit page on a website where they could fill out a form, pre-register their child for childcare before they ever show up on a Sunday morning. It's in our church management software database so that when they show up, they don't have to stand in line forever. They're ready to go check in your kids. And there you have it. I was like, okay, well, we got to build a platform that can do all this. And so it's been 18 months. We've been working with 1,000 charter churches, ton of money spent building it. And now we're finally ready to open Nucleus to the world for good. I feel like we have a website platform unlike any other website platform for churches that has ever existed.
So help me understand the core of Nucleus. So as I understood it, when it was announced, is it was it to me, it sounded like it was basically a member portal to register for things. So like a quick, it's not your website. It's a second, it's almost like a second, or it is a second website for your church for registrations, that kind of thing. It sounds as if you've pivoted, and maybe not even as much pivoted, but expanded for it to be your holistic web presence. Is that right? Can you follow up on that or explain how that works?
Yeah. So when we first opened Nucleus, April of 2017, we had a week period where we were welcoming in what we called charter churches, basically beta members for the product, paid beta. And at the time, like you said, Nucleus was meant to be this supplemental platform that was an extension of your website. And the reason for that was it was not ready to be a real website for your church. It just wasn't there yet. But we also knew that we needed to spend another year and probably $1 million building out this platform. It was, and still had a long ways to go. And so we were like, well, we want to get users in here. And we know that Nucleus is valuable as this kind of replacement for an app. Churches are already so many using two different platforms. They're using a website and an app, or they're using their website and a lobby. They're using their kiosk and the website. Yep. Well, Nucleus is just another option as this supplemental platform. And then the end goal was, we're going to build out this platform so that it can serve as your main website, but it can also serve as this supplemental platform. It can exist as, you know, the software in your lobby's kiosk, for instance. And yep. Now it has the flexibility where we have so many churches that use it as this supplemental platform. They have a main website and they have their Nucleus that's their kind of insider's platform that they use in service. Mm-hmm. So you can take message notes, fill them out, follow along, register for events, sign up for ministries. But then they have, you know, their main website as well, which is more that static page, welcoming new visitors, targeted completely at potential new visitors. And so now Nucleus has evolved into this massively flexible platform. And so you can use it as your main website. Great. You can use it as that supplemental platform, kind of how it began, its origin. You can use it as just the main kiosk in your lobby. We have some bigger churches that just use it as their kiosk. So when you want to sign up, give, register, prayer request, whatever it is, instead of talking to someone, now they have all these kiosks set in their lobby with tablets on these stands. And Nucleus is the software that powers all of that.
Yeah. So yeah, I love that. And that's very clear for me. So it's kind of an either or both, and however you want to use it, it now has the power to be your primary website. So one of the videos you recently put out, was about Squarespace. And I believe the video was five reasons or seven reasons your church shouldn't use Squarespace. I have probably posted a similar video of seven reasons your church should use Squarespace. And I've been a Squarespace fan because I used to be a WordPress guy. I moved into Squarespace because it was so hard to break. And I thought for churches, this, you know, you're not going to have broken plugins and various other elements that make it complicated. I feel like I've heard the same thing from you in the past about Squarespace. Can you explain why churches should not use Squarespace anymore? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, when you're developing a website platform, at the end of the day, you have to make choices and prioritize some things over another. And you just alluded to it, you know, you put Squarespace versus WordPress. Yeah. It's like, man, I love WordPress. It had such amazing flexibility, but I knew if I used Squarespace, I could never break anything. So yes. WordPress has prioritized complete customization and flexibility. You can do anything with WordPress. You can build a $100,000 e-commerce platform. You can build a $15,000 blog like we did with the Nucleus blog. You can build a $50 church website with a theme from themeforest.net. It has such flexibility. The downside of WordPress is that with that flexibility comes complexity. And if you don't know what you're doing, it is very easy to break. You install a third-party plugin. The code doesn't vibe. Things crash. Now you're paying for somebody to manage the site. You're paying for hosting that is quality enough so if you do break it, you can get them on support. And now that upfront affordability maybe isn't there as much, but if you have someone that knows what they're doing, WordPress can be an amazing solution. We use it for our Nucleus blog for that reason. I know what I'm doing, and so I can manage that. Of course, it costs $15,000 to build. You don't have to spend that much to build a blog. We did because we're crazy, but you don't have to. And then on Squarespace, this, you know, the strength of Squarespace is it offers the most upfront of affordability. You know, it's going to be $10 to $20 a month, and you can't break it. And it's really hard to make it not look good. The downside of Squarespace is that Squarespace wasn't built for churches. Mm-hmm. And because it doesn't have that flexibility that WordPress has, there are certain features that you're just never going to get with a Squarespace unless you do significant development, which again, if you're going to do that, you might as well go with WordPress or a custom build. you're just not going to have the features with a Squarespace that are going to be super church specific, like the Nucleus Sermon Engine that's coming soon, or the CHMS, church management software integrations that Nucleus has, or the ability to fill out message notes on your mobile device with the pastor's outline and then send them to yourself. Now, with all that being said, I'm not here to say that Nucleus is the be-all, end-all solution for church websites. That would be naive and just ignorant, because WordPress and Squarespace are amazing platforms. I recommended Squarespace for churches for the longest time because it was the best option. At the end of the day, for churches, more options is better. And so what we're trying to do with Nucleus is we're taking a massive swing. We've got this at bat, you know, another sports analogy. And we're taking a massive swing. We're going for a grand slam because we want churches to have another option. And that's what we keep saying. Like, Nucleus is unlike any other church website platform. We're not just building something on top of WordPress. We're not just building a carbon copy of Squarespace. You know, we've prioritized things that have never existed in website builders before. There's no such thing as a church website builder out of the box that integrates with Planning Center that allows you to pre-register children before heading to church. That just doesn't exist. You know, there's no website builder that allows you to have a create a sermon outline with an add notes feature so you can fill in the notes as you go along in service. And that's what makes Nucleus unique. So at the end of the day, for your church, it comes down to what matters to you. Do you want the absolute most affordability? Maybe you go with a Squarespace. You sacrifice robust features, but you get the price. Do you want absolute flexibility and you're willing to spend and hack things together? And you know, there's more risk in that and it might not be as easy, but if you know what you're doing, maybe WordPress is the best solution. Mm-hmm. Or if you want something that has amazing features that have never existed before, like what Nucleus has, maybe you prioritize that. And we did three videos. We did a video, why your church shouldn't use Squarespace. We did a video, why your church shouldn't use WordPress. We did a video, why your church shouldn't use Nucleus. Because I'm not here to peddle Nucleus as the be-all, end-all solution. What I'm here to say is it's a brand new solution that solves problems that have never been solved before. And if you prioritize those things, if those are important to you, Nucleus might be the best fit for your church.
Yeah, the line of the day for me is for churches, more options are better, and that has not been the case in technology for churches historically. In church apps, there's one key solution. In church databases, there are not a whole lot of good. I don't know if there's any good solutions, to be honest. And so, for when it comes to websites for churches, more options is the church wins, as there are more good options. I would love for you to, and I see you as a very creative guy in the various lines of work that you've done. Speak into one of the things about Squarespace that churches have had an issue with is all Squarespace sites kind of look the same. You can look at a site and this looks like Square. You know, all of my websites that I have are Squarespace, and they all kind of look the same. What I've seen of Nucleus seems to be kind of a similar infrastructure. Churches that want a lot of churches will say, well, we want to be different from the church down the street and stand out. How much value is there in looking unique, feeling unique from a creative perspective, from what you have experienced and the research you've done? And how much should a church differentiate itself online?
I think it comes down to understanding what are the most important elements of a website that make it unique and make it stand out. As an aside, I think it's important to admit that we all sing the same four songs every single weekend, and none of us write our own worship music aside from a few select churches. And so it's not that we pursue originality in everything. You know, there are 100 popular worship songs that pretty much every evangelical church pulls from. And we don't pursue originality there, even though we would consider that as like a core function of our worship service. That's like 50% or 30% of what we do every single weekend. And we're still like, bring on oceans, baby. We know it's anointed. And so I think it's important to just distance ourselves from this like goal of originality. One, because I don't think originality really is something worth chasing when we look at websites and what really matters. So, and I'm not trying to say this from like a hunch or a feeling standpoint. This is what I think the data produces. So for instance, I think that your church website has three main goals, and originality is just not one of them. The three goals I'd say are, you want your website to make a good first impression. This is the primary goal of your church's website. Forbes reported 97% of people are searching for local organizations online. When your church is being discovered, more often than not, it's happening on your website. It's not happening when someone pulls into your parking lot or steps through the doors of your building and into the auditorium. It's happening online. And so the number one goal of every church's website should be to make a good first impression. First impressions online happen, according to Google, in about 0.05 seconds. And what's interesting about these first impressions is that research has shown that the what makes a good first impression is 94% design related. And so even though we would all like to say that, look, we're here to judge substance. It was like, no, we all judge books by their covers because we need to make first impressions. We need them to happen or otherwise we can't sort through all the chaos that's happening around us. That's kind of the science behind first impressions. And according to Google, they did a ton of research on like what kind of websites do users love the most? And Google found that the websites that users found most appealing were those that were simple and familiar. And so I've heard pastors say like, we just don't love this whole minimal design thing. You know, we don't like that kind of like clean look. And I'm like, look, it's okay that you don't like that, but you got to recognize that that's what the world and your audience likes. So then you have to decide, are you making a website that you, the pastor, you, the senior leadership are going to like, or are you making a website that the people you're trying to reach are going to prefer? You should do things that the people you're trying to reach would like, not what you like, because you're trying to reach them. You are not your audience. And so that's another important distinction to make. So knowing that the best websites are those that are simple and familiar, we were like, okay, if we can create a framework with Nucleus that we know is going to make a great first impression, a big main headline, because five times as many people are going to read that main headline according to Kissmetrics than the body copy on your site. And we're going to make a navigation menu that is simple and straightforward so that it's not complicated, because we know simple and familiar is good. And we know according to eye tracking studies that logos are where the majority of people spend their time when they land on websites. Okay, so we're going to put the logo front and center, really clean, really obvious. We're not going to tuck it away. But there is one thing that is the single most important contributing factor to making good first impressions online. It's not the logo. It's not your originality. It's not following some cool design trend, gradients, 2018, hashtag win. The most important thing when it comes to making a great first impression and having an amazing website is the imagery that you use. Mm-hmm. Imagery can communicate in an instant more than paragraphs worth of text can. There's a reason that cliche, a picture is worth 1,000 words, exists. And there's a reason why when we scroll through our Facebook and Instagram news feeds, what we see are videos and photos and very little text, because we interact with visual imagery better than with text. Not to say that text is less important, especially in the long term, but when it comes to instant reaction and building rapport and boosting conversions, building trust, imagery is the way to do that. And what we found, again, through the research that we discovered, was that there's one type of imagery that excels beyond any other, and that is smiling photos of human faces. There have been countless studies that have proven this again and again. Researchers from University of Bradford found that initial trust was boosted on websites that had human faces. University College London, they put pictures of human faces on websites that were already like low trust, that were perceived as shady, and trust was boosted because smiling people do that. And you know, there are a number of actual A/B tests online. Here's a great one that'll make sense for everyone. Georgia Institute of Technology, they did this with Yahoo Labs. They looked at more than 1 million photos on Instagram. They found that photos with human faces were 38% more likely to get likes and 32% more likely to attract comments than pictures that did not have human faces. And this is why photography of human faces is the absolute best thing that you can put on your website. And it's also, if you really do care about originality, the best way to make your website unique and special, because no church community is like your church community. And the people at your church are unlike the people at any other church, because we're all so unique. And that's why with the Nucleus framework, we prioritized this in our design. You will see image containers everywhere, taking up the entire page, because that's the best part of the website that you can customize. That's how you make it original. That's how you make it your own. And so we tried to take everything we could with the data and prioritize the infrastructure and design of Nucleus to prioritize what mattered most. And so that's what we've done. With that comes a little bit of sacrifice when it comes to the framework. The framework we know is going to make a great first impression. And we're not going to allow you to like move everything around on the homepage. What we're going to force you to do is customize the parts that matter most. And if you want to build something custom, then that's totally your prerogative. What we think we've created is a framework that's going to make a great first impression using all the available data, and it still allows you to customize your logo, your colors, your fonts, your branding, and most importantly, your photos and imagery.
I love it. That's boy, what a good word about imagery and how important that is. I'm a technical question here. What prevented you? So as we talk about WordPress and Squarespace a little bit, from just creating a great WordPress theme that can't break, or great, and I don't know if you can even create Squarespace themes, but kind of a structure within those infrastructures. What led you down the path of feeling like, you know what, the church needs its own CMS? Rather than working within one of these other infrastructures?
Well, WordPress themes are great because you can create, you know, beautiful looking designs. And I was enamored with themes for the longest time. I've purchased more than 100 WordPress themes, like spent so much money on them. Yep. The reason that we didn't build on top of WordPress was because we wanted to build a church website builder for church staff and volunteers. You know, 80%+ of churches are 250 or less. And I live in Canada where there just aren't that many big churches. And yeah. Every church I've served in up until this point has been a small church plant. And so I know exactly what it's like to be serving in a small church. And we have big churches using Nucleus for their supplemental websites, for kiosks in their lobby. But the majority of our users are smaller churches. They're church plants. And we have countless testimonies and stories from these churches that have, you know, they've revolutionized their online presence using Nucleus. But the reason that we decided to go this route was technically one, because when it comes to the integrations and all the advanced things, you can't build those into a theme. You'd have to create additional plugins. And now you're getting churches to install plugins, install the theme, manage the theme, manage the plugins, update the theme, WordPress updates. We have to update. What if something breaks? It was like, well, if you want to make things simple, that's just not possible. And so that's why we built the Nucleus platform from scratch. There are a number of church website builders that just create something on top of WordPress and then charge you for it. It's like, well, you could just use WordPress. That aside, we wanted to build something from scratch that was so incredibly easy. And to do that, you know, we had to make our own platform because, like you said, Squarespace ain't letting us in, and that's fine. Like, I wanted to build something that I had imagined from scratch, built from scratch. And that's why we did it that way.
Yeah, I love it. And you talked about how, or I've heard in some of your videos that you've been able to kind of build out all the functions you want. Is there a roadmap that you can speak to that goes beyond, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, that you see for Nucleus that you're able to share?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this is what makes software so exciting, is that it's ever evolving. And okay. So we actually have a Trello public Nucleus roadmap that people can see and view. And everything is completed on it now because the launch is happening in a couple of days recording this. But then we're going to revamp it as we like head into the post-launch time. The first big thing is the sermon engine. So we are about midway through the design of this, and this is going to launch in a couple of months. Design, and then we'll get into the development of it. But we want to create a sermon engine that is unlike any other that's ever existed. You know, the most beautiful way to categorize and enable search and present your messages to the world that lives on your website. And so it's not just, you know, like this dead collecting dust archive, but it's this dynamic, beautiful way of presenting your messages with downloadable transcripts and you know, small group questions and audio player, video player. And it's just amazing on every device. So that's the big first feature we're working on. Yep. From there, we've got a ton of goals for integration. So right now we integrate with Planning Center, with Tithely, built-in giving, and then our built-in giving with Tithely integrates with, you know, Church Community Builder, Shelby, and so many others. But there are like an unending number of church management softwares and integrations that we want to build. You know, I have this vision for your website, you know, being that central hub for every next step, the single destination for your church. But then for that to work exceptionally well, Nucleus needs to be able to capture that information, store it, and then send it where it needs to go. So, you know, we already integrate with Planning Center, great, but what if you use Breeze, or what if you use Church Community Builder? We're doing CCB in the next couple of weeks, you know, and the thing with integrations is it's always a two-person dance, and so the other platform has to be willing and have the documentation ready to go. We had a company, we were ready to go with them. They're like, let's do it. And then we got into the integration. Oh, their API wasn't really ready yet. Okay, let's check back in 6 months. And so there's always only so much we can do on that end, but that's a huge part of it. And then, you know, when it comes to new themes and new design options, you know, we'll probably do a big design, new theme launch every single year, be like the new look for Nucleus in 2019. And so you'll be able to stick with your existing design or move into a new one if you want to refresh it. And so there's so much. At the end of the day, what's really exciting about Nucleus, and I don't really mean for this to be one giant ad for Nucleus. It's just,
I'm asking those questions. So you're good.
Is like, we don't have any outside investors. So I built this company from scratch. Yep. And no one tells me what to do. except for our users. And that's what's so amazing. We have this private group. We call it Nucleus Insiders. There's more than 1,000 churches in there. It is the most wildly active group I've ever seen. You know, nonstop notifications. It's amazing. Every single day, people are in there saying, hey, what if we did this with Nucleus? And we log every single one of those things. And so what's great about Nucleus is there's no bottom line that I have to reach. There's no investor that I have to make happy. There's no amount of money I have to return for someone who gave me money. No, we built this and we only do things when users ask for them. And so there are the sermon engine and the additional integrations and the new theme. These are like the top three things that our users have been asking for, but whatever users want is what we build. And it's an amazing freedom and luxury to have. And I'm so thankful to ProChurch Nation and every single Nucleus user for making that possible.
And Brady, I promise I did not, I actually intended this conversation to be more of a debate than an I love Brady conversation. But bro, I love what you've done. I love what you've done as an entrepreneur. And one of the things that I love is that you have taken how God has blessed your business in serving the churches and serving the churches well, and put it back into your business to better serve churches in new and unique and different ways. I'm a client of yours at several different products, and I love Storytape is one of the most recent offerings that you have that I'm personally using and loving. But one of the things that's happened in the church world, and so I've lived in this world for. And especially the church technology world for the last 10 years, is a lot of good technology companies get acquired. And we saw this with Fellowship One with Active Networks a few years ago when I was at Community Bible Church. And what I experienced in that time was our database, which we thought we were heading down a roadmap. When it got acquired, there was a whole new roadmap, and essentially there was no roadmap. All the developers were gone, and we had nothing. And to change technologies is a nightmare for a church. Can you speak to, you spoke to the freedoms you have as a business owner. Is somebody going to buy Nucleus in 3 months and it's going to stop developing and it's going to start breaking, and now the church is going to have to redo and get a whole new website? Or can you speak to the business path for Nucleus as well, just to peace of mind a little bit here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm 26 years old, turning 27 in April. And what the problem with anyone ever buying Nucleus is that I'm so young that I'm too naive and hungry to build something amazing that I would want to sell. And the second problem with convincing me to sell Nucleus is because we never were invested with to begin with. No one ever gave us money to begin with. Most startups, they're building towards an exit. So this is kind of like, insider business talk. Hopefully it's not too boring for everyone, but usually what happens is if you want to build an amazing platform like Squarespace, you get a ton of investment from outside investors. They give you millions of dollars. You spend it, you're losing money, but that's okay because the money wasn't yours. And the whole idea is one day you open up for public offering, you make tens of millions, you sell, everyone makes a big cash day. You, the creators, and them, the investors. The problem with selling a company that's bootstrapped, or at least one of the problems, is that if you're doing your company right, the only way you can be sustainable is to be profitable. Because you can't build a million-dollar platform from scratch if you don't have the profit to do it. And that's what has made our business unique, is that no one gave us money because we don't need their money or want their money. And also, we make enough money that for someone to buy Nucleus, they would have to offer a crap ton of money. And that's just not going to happen, at least not for years and years and years. And so one, I'm too young and hungry to want to sell. Two, I have never allowed anyone to give me money for business, and I'm not about to start anytime soon. And three, there's no need for me to sell. There's no, compulsion to sell, no reason that I'd want to, because the company's making money. I'm doing what I love. What happens when you sell a company at 28 nails? Now, I'm not saying it's like an impossibility. I have never been approached by anyone to ever sell, just never happened before. What do I do if I sell a company at 28? I was going to start a new one anyway. So I might as well just keep working. Like, I'm too young. What am I going to do? Retire? No. So yeah, the idea of selling seems so impossible. I have had conversations not about selling my products, but with the people that have been sold. Clover is one of the church website platforms that changed the game for ministries years ago. They sold a couple of years ago, and I can only speak from what I hear from their customers, but some of that has not been as good as some of it was before. I mean, I think that's pretty diplomatic there. And so like that's the thing that I don't want. Our company has always been Pro Church Nation first, and so selling is not on my radar at all.
Good. Good. Well, that is the good for me to hear. And I can't wait to see where you lead it. I do have another question and just tension point that I've experienced, and you and I've had previous conversations about, and so I'll get right to it. I'm an app guy. I helped create a TV app company. I like mobile apps. I actually think churches need mobile apps. My personal opinion around mobile apps in the church is that it's not that mobile apps are bad. It's that the innovation around mobile apps is not good. You it seems hate mobile apps, period. We haven't really talked about TV apps. I think it's a totally different game, but can you speak to why you hate mobile apps? And hate might be a strong word, but it does feel that way.
Well, I mean, every stance that I have, I try to root in data. So I try not to have opinions on things if there's strong data to suggest my opinion is wrong. So when I was the media director at my church as an 18-year-old kid, my first paid staff position, we had an app at our church, and it was made by Subsplash. And I have some friends over at that company. You know, they're the biggest church app company. They do great work. Yep. And so I know what it's like to be a church that has an app. But when I look at all the data and all the experience that I've seen with churches and apps, I cannot in good conscience recommend apps to churches because I just don't think for most it's economical, smart, or worthwhile. And we can get into all the reasons why that is. If you care to, I mean, we don't need to either.
Yeah, well, let's dig into it maybe a little bit because it's my belief that I love your philosophy around the hub and where I was very passionate about and where Subsplash was a good business when it started maybe 8 years ago. I say that I honestly don't know anybody directly at Subsplash. I've talked to them a couple of times, but Subsplash met a need because mobile websites then. It was a challenge to build a mobile website. Well, now mobile web is a totally different game. And it's where Nucleus makes a whole lot of sense to me. I get the friction too with mobile apps of you've got the download friction. And I think the perception is that not many people enable their push notifications. And that's the only advantage. I think there's some native functionality that's never been innovated around. And even your point that it's so much of church communication needs to revolve around your church database systems. I think that's the core technology that's broken. Mm-hmm. I think if there's better church database systems and better mobile app technologies, I feel like there can be a healthy ecosystem with your website, a mobile app, church database. Where the technology exists today, I'm in a total agreement with you. I'm not recommending mobile apps where it is because custom mobile app is $100,000 plus, you know, a template mobile app is probably $5,000 setup, $500 a month, something like that. And the value isn't necessarily there. But I do believe that if technology is innovated around kids check-in, around things like innovate, like even what you're talking about with sermon notes, they can be saved within the mobile app, the giving experience within a mobile app. I think there's rationale as to why a mobile app can be a good value. Your thoughts to that? Or do you really think mobile apps are a thing of the past? It had its place in the church maybe a few years ago and for a season, but that's gone and dead for good.
I'm going to say some of this 'cause it surprise everyone, Nils. If I started a church next week, I'd probably spend $200,000 and build the most kick butt app that any church has ever had. That's what I would do. Now, I also recognize that pretty much no church is in that position. And you know, basically, if what I'm hearing is correct, the things that you're saying are, you know, if this was better, and then if we could do this, then it would make sense. Yep. And, you know, I don't disagree with those things. All the advice that I have, I try to make as practical for churches as possible. So I look at how things actually are for most, and then I respond to that. Now, there's always going to be outliers, right? And this is what makes stuff pretty difficult for churches that really don't have any experience in digital, didn't grow up with it. Average senior pastor age is 54 in the Protestant world. You know, they're the ones making those final decisions. Maybe it's not as native or as familiar to them, and so it's tough. Apps can work, just like everything can work, but are they the best return on investment and worthwhile investment? Like, if let's say you used an app, a tool like Nucleus, for instance, to build your website, there is not a single thing that I am aware of that an app can do that your website and social media cannot. So one of the things that apps could do for the longest time that was unique was message notes. I think the Subsplash app can do that. Well, Nucleus can as well. You can go through every single thing that an app can do, and a website can do it and more because it's available on desktop, searchable, indexable. The one thing that stands out is, of course, push notifications. Here's the thing about push notifications. Comscore came out with their report for 2017, as they do every single year, on mobile apps. And push notifications continue to be a contentious issue. They're just rarely enabled. Only one in 20 people ages 35 plus say they always allow push notifications. So 5%. And most churches' demographic is 35 plus. And so if your church skews young, maybe things are better. Well, maybe not, because 71% of millennials say that they are annoyed by too many app notifications. That's the data. My personal experience is I allow zero notifications except for text. Alex, my partner in crime with Pro Church Daily, he doesn't even allow text notifications. Dude's crazy. That's why I always get so many phone calls. I don't know if that's worth it. It seems like a bad trade-off, but hey, that's his call. Point is, app notifications just aren't enabled nearly as much as you think. And so then the question is, do you really want to pay $50 to $150 a month for a single feature that's rarely used? And here's the kicker. You can send push notifications for free, because every single platform, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, allows your users and followers to turn on notifications for your individual profile. And here's the great thing about all those platforms. Everybody already uses them. So instead of convincing someone, after paying $150 a month plus maybe a startup fee to build an app, convincing them to download that app and turn on push notifications, which they probably won't, says the data, if you really care that much about push notifications, save your money, use Facebook. 7 out of every 10 American adults is on it. Encourage them to turn on push notifications for your Facebook profile. Leverage the existing tech that is free. And now you're going to have more people using it, and you saved all the money. At the end of the day, Nils, it comes down to this. Having an app is pretty cool. Like, my church has an app that you can find in the app store. And a lot of the reasons that we're, you know, there's a reason why PushPay, Tithely, and other companies, good companies, use apps as incentives to join their giving platforms. Because everyone thinks an app is cool. And that's why I'm like, on this crusade to get people to stop using apps. And I've been saying it before Nucleus was ever even a thing. It's that, look, the data just suggests that you're wasting a ton of money. And the problem is that if 80 plus percent of churches are 250 or less, every dollar you spend on your app means a dollar less spent on social and websites. And websites and social ROI are going to crush your app every single time, even if you don't even know what you're doing. And so I don't like seeing churches' budget steward poorly, stolen away to be given to an app, when I can't find any data or any even feature that an app can do that websites and social cannot.
So Brady, to push back a little bit, I mean, and to agree a little bit, to push back, I would say that there is a trust factor with the church that I believe that the standard of what would be allowed from a push notification standpoint would be much greater in the church. Now, that's a perception, that's not based on data. But I will say,
I would like that.
I would love to know the data. We had at CBC about 50% of people allowed push notifications, but that was 3-4 years ago when push notifications, you know, I allow fewer and fewer push notifications. I think though, if that is your driver, sign up for text in church, where you get a 97% open rate on SMS text messages. Sign up for, get a Facebook Messenger bot, where you get a 92% open rate. That's a much higher open rate than any push notification of any app, including just a regular Facebook notifications. Yep. Or Twitter. So if the sexiness of an app or the newness of an app, that I think that day is behind us, or should be behind us, and push notifications should not be the driver towards mobile app. I hope, and I'm going to just share my opinion here, Brady. I hope, I can't wait to see where Nucleus goes. I hope that in the next couple of years, Nucleus builds a mobile app and it works within the infrastructure, because I believe that's where the technology, and I believe that you are an entrepreneur that can see that and guide that and build that into the infrastructure, and it'd be a beautiful thing. Now, you could hold true to what you see today. I think we'll see where the technology goes. I believe that you will adapt, and I will believe if you think that's the right direction, you'll admit that. That's where my opinion is as to where the technology is going, and I think somebody needs to innovate there. I have found, just with tvapp.church, it is so expensive. The development side, and we're bootstrapping the TV app company, and it's so expensive, and it's so hard, and it's so slow, and you need so many resources. It's tough. The app, and we're just in a TV app world that is very simple. the mobile app world is much more expensive. The other negative is a website you can instantly update and it updates. Now with a mobile app, people have to update their iPhone app or their Android app, and you've got two different infrastructures. That's part of the technology challenge, where a website works on every device and platform. So I think you're right on for where technology is today. I just believe that the church needs a better mobile app solution that's really built for their members to engage and deepen connection and engagement. That's a personal opinion, though. Brady, as we wrap up this podcast, if there is one piece of advice that you could tell a church, whatever website they're on today, and a change they could make on their website today to make it better, what would that one change be?
The day that we're recording this, we have a video going out tomorrow on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/prochurchtools. It's called One Way to Improve Your Church's Website Today. I think it's called The Best Way.
And we didn't talk about this in advance.
Yeah, exactly. But we talked about it already, which was like the photos. Yeah. We did a case study. We looked at more than 1,000 church websites from more than 30 different countries. Every state was represented, every province in Canada represented. And what we found was astounding. You know, there are so many takeaways. You can see the whole case study at blog.nucleus.church. But one of them was that one out of every three church websites uses stock photos of people's faces. Not just stock photos of a Bible or raised hands, but like of people's faces. And the reason that that churches do that is because it's convenient, and we think, you know, these photos look great. The problem is that it's a huge misrepresentation of who your church is. Those people do not attend your church. And if someone attends your church and expects one thing and you give them something else, that's a relationship that's going to be ruined forever. You know, imagine if you bought like a ring on Etsy, let's say, you know, like a ring for your spouse, and you got the ring in the mail and it didn't look anything like the photo that you bought. You'd be like, Amazon, Etsy, eBay, give me my money back. I am upset. And yet we do the same thing with our churches. And here's another one. You know, probably most churches listening to this have evolved beyond clip art, but there are 29,000 monthly searches in the United States for cross clip art. And to put that in context, because that's just a number on its own, there are 27,000 monthly searches in the US for the term Old Testament. So cross clip art is more popular than the Old Testament in America, according to search engines. And the point is that so many churches are using visual imagery that is either generic, old, and tacky, like clip art, or disingenuous and misrepresentative of their congregation in stock photos of people's faces. We did an amazing case study where I went to a church of about 200. I'd never been to the church before. I'm not a photographer. I know a lot about video. You mentioned that. I can't take a photo to save my life. I took my iPhone. I put it on portrait mode. I spent an hour at this church I had never been to before. I took photos of people smiling, and I built an entire demo website using Nucleus in about 3 hours. No clip art, no stock photos, no photo skills, no camera, no money. And it looks amazing. You can do this with the tech you have. There's no excuse for clip art. There's no excuse for stock photos of people's faces on your website implying they attend your church. The best thing you can do with your website, whether you're using Nucleus, Squarespace, WordPress, custom built, whatever, replace all the imagery you have with smiling photos of humans. You can do it without a camera. You can do it for free without any experience. That case study is also at blog.nucleus.church. It's 3,000 words. There's a downloadable PDF. It shows how I took the photos, how I treated them, all for free, existing devices. Every manufacturer of mobile devices has portrait mode. It's not just iPhones. It's the best thing you can do, Nils. It's huge.
Awesome. Well, great advice. Everyone listening, go take 30 minutes right now, analyze your website, update the pictures if you need to, go take some new pictures if you need to. To Brady's point, you can do that in 3 hours. You can do that taking pictures, getting them ready, getting them on your website. That one change will make a huge difference. Brady, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you so much for the innovation you continue to lead in the church.
Appreciate it, Nils. I had a blast.